ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I kept saying a few weeks ago, I'm making a spiced chai tea, but chai means tea. So I'm just making a spiced chai. And I make quite a lot of these, but I'm trying to add different spices each time. Today's a lot of ginger and black and green cardamom, cinnamon, and oat milk and honey. It's a very Makita special, and they've come a long way. It's raining. I love him. And I wanted to give him something that said, I love you. Let me tell you a little bit about Delhi rice. Delhi came to stay at my house one night. We were hideously hungover from something. We watched Indian Matchmaker on Netflix, I think half the series, and Delhi made Delhi rice. And its ingredients are rice, butter, naff, butter, and thyme, and love. And I swear to God, this rice is like a hug from inside and a little kiss on your nose. It is so good. He just gave me a little bit of it and I was like, oh my God, Delhi rice.
Oh, so oh my God,
I'm so happy we're giving that to David Seaman. He really deserves it. I feel with you. I didn't know
that
I had the Arsenal colours on.
Hello!
Hello! Hi, guys. Becky, for coming. Oh my God, you're so glamorous. Look at you.
Welcome.
Thank you for coming all this way. It's a pleasure. How are you, darling?
Good.
Thank you. Yes, I am
coming. The red and white.
I didn't know.
Go on, girl.
I actually didn't know.
He said, good or she doesn't know.
He says, well, you've got the Arsenal colours on. I was like, what are they? I literally know nothing about football. I know about you.
Okay.
So do come in, guys.
They're also the Sheffield United colours.
There you go.
Just
saying. I like Sheffield. It's a nice town.
Thank you.
Hi.
This is our team.
This is the team. Doggy
met.
Gorgeous girl.
This is Chili and Randell.
Hi, Chili.
And Cheyenne.
And this is Ebony.
Hi, Ebony.
Welcome.
And
this is Tayo.
Yeah, nobody you've met.
Tayo went straight. I said, Tayo never usually talks to the guests. He's like, oh, yeah, Tayo. He's there. Can I take your cone?
Yes, please.
Do you cook then, Frankie?
Yeah, well, we both do, actually. Yeah. David's a good cook too, but I mean, I'd probably do about 8.
So where does butter in rice come from?
Oh, well, it's just...
Well, I put butter in rice.
That's where it comes from.
I mean, it's I put butter in rice. Yeah. I worked with a Korean lady years ago, and that was her go-to snack. Sometimes we were ice skaters, so obviously, like, being athletes, sometimes she's really, really hungry.
Yeah,
and her go-to snack was not, as you would expect, sort of soy sauce. It was butter in the rice, and that's where I got it from.
Nice. Because it brings richness to the rice, and it gets you a little kind of salty depth that you need, so it tastes like a savoury
butter.
Property.
And it's butter,
and
so
it's
come
butter.
On, it's a party.
Don't I? You can't argue. Butter. People have tried to argue with me about butter. It never works. It never works very far.
Bloody loads of butter, I think,
so,
is the ingredient.
So these, you literally just unwrap it like that, and inside you've got like a little steam.
So we can't eat the leaf?
No.
But that is purely aesthetic.
That's purely aesthetic, and that's what you beautiful. Steam them in, like old
yeah,
school,
they cook
like banana
in this
leaves.
Yeah.
So I have some banana plants in my garden. Would that be the same? Would I be able to use them to steam
stuff
in?
Well, you've got like a banana tree.
Yeah.
Yeah,
a couple
yeah,
actually.
All is. Yeah, that's okay. All it is. And you can, these ones, we didn't have any twine, so I wrapped them in tinfoil. If okay. you've got a little bit of rope, you just tie them with rope.
Are they growing? How are your banana trees doing? Because my auntie Ali's got some, and because of the global warming and our terrible, you know, new heatwave summers, they're flourishing. Because it's like tropical weather.
Probably shouldn't be.
Are you doing happy. Well? How are yours
no,
doing?
No, they're good. They can survive down to about -5, and you can fleece them as well in the winter if you're concerned about losing them over the winter.
You are a grower.
But we lost them. Oh, I do like growing things. I like growing food, actually. I think, well, everything you grow is food, isn't it? Yeah. For somebody or something, everything you grow is food.
You
I like herbs.
Vegetable
herbs. Yeah, see, this is what I mean. I have a herb garden, and this is how I make my teas, because I grow herbs, and then I kind of I learned it in the Caribbean. They have this in the Caribbean, they drink bush tea, and I was like, oh god, I can't wait when we go to Antigua, I can't wait to drink bush tea. And I got them, they were like, no, we just mean anything from the bush,
literally,
which is just
foraging
yeah. their herbs,
so like bay leaves, lemongrass,
oregano,
thyme,
yeah, rosemary,
everything, all that sounds amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Those things are really
shove it in a pot,
tea.
Cook
but,
it up, and it's the
but
best
but also
tea.
Very medicinal,
very yes. much so.
So
very
yeah
much so.
So I
there's
do
a lady in St John's Market, which is in the is the capital of Antigua,
God, you haven't got chicken yet.
And you can go to her and say, I've had a really bad headache for 2 days, or my stomach's having problems, and she will give you bush tea packets that she makes up. She'll put it together yes. for you and tell you to drink that for 3 days, and it like
it's a messy
right
dish.
Out.
I'll give you a bit more
it's
sauce.
Like, you know, traditional medicine, basically. By the way, my boyfriend is absolutely, he's away at the moment.
Oh,
he's
no.
devastated. He's QPR.
He's
a QPR
oh, well,
fan.
Yeah, well, I was there for 4 years.
Yes, I'm aware of that.
Yes. And so is he.
So is he. So
we,
is
you,
he.
You'll have to do him a little video before we leave.
Yeah,
so
I'll
hi.
Oh,
he'll
be so
yeah.
thrilled.
That would be so nice.
We'll yeah. do you, we'll do, well, you can do, well, not me, because he's probably not an ice skating. Probably fair to say he's not into ice skating and sparkles, but you can do him a little video. If you'll do one for us, for our agent, Matt, who wanted to be here today.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
a huge fan. So he was hoping to get here and fanboy a little bit, and he was going to bring his bottle of homemade Jamaican, he gave us all rum for Christmas.
Yeah.
So
I'll
Jamaican
send you some food with
punch.
Him. Yeah.
Yeah. No, we're not going to see him.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll say I'll give you some food anyway.
We'll take the food.
No, yeah, yeah, I'm going to say, yeah, give some to Matt.
Yeah, yeah, extra.
We'll take it.
Sure, this is for Matt.
Going back to what you were saying about when people meet you and they think that you're up there, you know, a lot of people say to me, oh, Mark, you're normal. I'm yeah, like, yeah, it's just me being me. Mm. That's the biggest compliment they can give me.
Yeah.
You know, is the fact that I'm just being me.
Yes.
And people notice
yeah.
that.
Well, how do you think you've retained that, actually? Because some people do lose that sense of self.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's quite easy to do. Why do you think that you've managed?
Just like the way that I was brought up, you yeah. know, learn to appreciate, you know, where things come from. You know, they come through hard work, you know, like my mum and dad. But I'm fortunate to have grown up through all the different changes in football, you know, not just like physically, but like financially as well.
Yeah.
You know, we won our first league title, well, my first league title in 1990. And we were sponsored by JVC at the time. And because we'd won the league, we got the JVC catalogue and we could choose anything out of it.
That's what they gave you.
And exactly. But we were like,
that's
we were
great
like,
for
yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Wow.
New camcorder, new telly. All.
JVC catalogue.
But you could have one. You could
that's
only
amazing.
Have one.
One thing.
But that's what I mean. That's
and now people are getting what, £5 million cheque to say well done.
Well, exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
You know, but then that's... Then there must be a different motivation for players nowadays because for me a lot of it was financially.
But the thing about athletes is, you know, we look at them and we go, oh, okay, the footballers. And I can say this as an ice skater because we didn't get paid in the same way. You know, obviously we got well paid, but not nowhere near the same way as footballers. It's just a decent living, right? Mm-hmm. So when I look at footballers and football as a business model, I think, well, yeah, those players are making, I don't know, let's say $100,000 a week. Amazing. But that's not what's making them into great players.
Right.
Well, nowhere near, because those players, if that had never happened, if that stratospheric amount of money had never been offered to them from the start, they'd still be playing for minimum wages because that's just what they love.
They love.
You can't
they
be a great
you.
You can't be a great athlete unless you absolutely love what you do. I mean, they're almost, I mean, most footballers are like football geeks, aren't they? You know, most athletes are geeky about their sport, completely focused, completely
have
linear.
Yeah. But she's the same. We go away and she's like watching fucking cooking shows. I'm like, are you sick of this? Like,
can I talk to the chef?
Just sitting
there. There's little bits she can learn.
Yeah. She lives and breathes.
And then I fall down a rabbit hole. Like somebody gives me like a new, like a tomatillo. I'm like, tomatillo? I don't have a tomatillo.
What's a tomatillo?
Well, there you go.
I thought he was going to start singing.
It's like the same family as physalis. You know those cape gooseberries? You know the little yellow things with the kind of husk? They sometimes call them a husk tomato.
Yes.
And it's like
Mexican...
Very sharp. So you get, they're like green tomatillos. They look like a tomato, but they're really green and they're quite acidic and bright and sharp. And they use them in Mexican.
Tomatillo. So the Spanish word for tomato. Sorry.
And then, so I was really interested in tomatillos and spent a long, whole hominy corn tomatillo. About 2 months obsession, finding out all about hominy corn, and that's where you make grits, and then grits is like a whole... Because actually food for me is a portal to history.
You start to
understand about the movement of peoples. You understand why these things are on your plate, why these things take the shape, like why these dukkana, they come from West Africa, really, you know, and they use different mazes and different corns and different, and through the movement of peoples to the Caribbean, it's changed to sweet potato and coconut, and then you understand who got where,
because that's what they had available.
Yes, exactly. And, but the cooking methods are the same. Like I found out there's a thing we have in Antigua called fungi, which is a cornmeal kind of stiff porridge thing.
So good.
And I found out in Angola it's called fungi. So I'm like, oh, so it was Angolan Africans who came to the Caribbean who brought this dish with them.
Yeah.
And you understand about enslavement. I mean, the whole thing to me...
It's a really interesting take on migration as well, because I think, you know, unfortunately, some people have to migrate. Like, it's not a choice. You know, if you're in a war-torn country, and I always think migrants are very brave, because actually nobody wants to leave their home.
Right.
And especially knowing that the world is a very unwelcoming place. So I think the bravest people that do make that choice and they do end up somewhere else, wherever it is, they end up, you know, managing to find some safety. Actually, that the food that you bring with you is your little reminder of home. It's your little bubble of comfort, isn't it?
Yes.
And this is like, okay, everything has changed. Nothing's the same. The language is different. The weather is different. The produce that we see is different, but we can still have our celebratory food, whatever it is.
It's your umbilical link to your security and your heritage.
To your motherland.
And that stuff is really, really important, finding out who you are and where...
Where are you from, Frankie? Because you look Italian or like something.
I'm mixed race Asian.
Really? Yeah. Okay. And this is something else
happening. Where in Asia?
Vietnam.
Vietnam and English?
Yes.
Wow.
And your pet's the beauty.
Yeah, right. That's why it's so beautiful.
Speaks five languages.
Oh, wow.
Including Russian.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, that was from travelling. So that's from just, you know, being fortunate enough to have travelled to many different countries. Yeah.
Okay, well,
not everybody can do that. Not everybody does that. You see, I think this is another thing about people who come from migrant families, actually, is that they will go to another country and learn the language and find out about the food and do all of that stuff. Yeah. People who haven't moved around, they don't bother. They just expect... There's an entitlement. Yeah. They expect other people to learn what they're putting out. And actually,
I think that's the case in Britain.
Interesting.
I mean, I've travelled a lot, and I think that's very much a British mentality.
It is.
It's not maybe so much, I think, when you're in the on the continent, I think, you know, in the European mainland, because there aren't really there's borders, but they're not really borders.
It's like,
there's
the land
borders. And I think that there's more of a migration of ideas and thoughts and food, even though they speak different languages. Mm. South America, similar sort of vibe. North America, the same. I'm not sure about in Africa. I mean, there's no borders there either,
well,
really,
there
per se.
But you can walk across.
It's political borders. It's not necessarily like, you know...
Physical.
There's loads
of places in America you go where people don't even know what happens outside of their own state.
Yeah.
Which I find... Like, they watch the news. The news is literally like, Texas. Mary Jo had a horse. And the horse has had some babies. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, wow.
That's the kind of news I want to listen to. That's all I need.
Do you know what I mean? I'm like done with the rest.
Righty, mate, get yourself on the podcast, because it's epic, and the food's right up your street.
There you go!
There you go, I think we might have bagged him.
Oh, what a wonderful afternoon. I mean, the ladies are so welcoming. And I always say to people, it's really important to be a good host, but it's also important to be a good guest. And I hope that they enjoyed having us as much as we enjoy being here. The food was incredible. So first of all, Randall put a shed load of butter into the rice. I'm already in love. And then after that, I think chili and his chicken was incredible. We had a beetroot dish, which I'd never heard of. The most actually impressive thing for me was the
shallotting.
No, the shallots were very nice.
Oh, no, the coconut were nice,
but the coconut, I think it's called a duca. I think that's the right word. And it was wrapped in banana leaf and then baked in the oven. And that was absolutely incredible. It was almost kind of, it had a sweetness to it, had a starchiness to it, had a crunch to it, which I think was the coconut. I could have eaten that like dessert. There was one sitting on the table and I really wanted to take it, but it was the last one, so I didn't dare. David and I love to do things together where we get to chat through our lives. It's always really interesting for us. And I think what really fascinated me was how interested the ladies were in ice skating as well, because I wasn't expecting that. You know, most people, they want to see David and they want to talk about the football. And I felt really included. I feel like they've been listening to the Icebreakers podcast, because it feels like they've been catching up on the ice skating. But it was really, really, really nice and very welcoming. We were very at ease, really, from the moment we walked in.
They were very warm hosts and the food was fantastic. I loved the chicken. First of all, I was a little bit cautious of how spicy it might be, but then when I realised it wasn't, I had quite a lot.
As female broadcasters, they're quite unique in their space. They have a mother-daughter dynamic that you would expect could be even be, you know, sometimes mothers and daughters, it can be quite confrontational, or they can, you know, have different, very different opinions across the generations. But these two seem so in sync with each other. They complement each other so perfectly. And I think Makita is definitely a chip off her mum's old block for sure. But just the way that you could tell she had so much respect for her mum when her mum was talking about how difficult it was being, you know, when she was younger, being a young mum and having to provide for Makita, and I think that really touched Makita, you could tell. And I think from Makita's part, she's such an articulate young woman that you can't help but applaud Andy for raising such a strong woman.
If they come around to your house, when they come around to your house for a dinner, what's on the menu? First of all, who's doing the cooking?
I would like to do the cooking, if I'm honest, because I can do a mean Sunday roast. It would be a Sunday roast lamb.
I'm not letting him anywhere near the kitchen, because yes, he can produce some tasty food, but the mess? No, that's not happening. Who's cleaning up?
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.